this is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. I thank you, thank you, thank you for being here. You know what we do here at Good Deeds? Our whole mission and purpose is to help other people share their message with the world. You know, it's so much going on in the days of time now. You know, it's ups and downs. You know, people just don't, you know, we really, some people don't have hope. People don't know where to turn. And what we try to do is to educate you, of course, motivate you, inspire you, that we all can make wise decisions. You know, we actually have to embrace each other because we are our sisters and brothers keeper. You know, sometimes we'll feel fabulous, we'll feel happy, and sometimes we actually may have to, you know, actually have medical treatment, medical care from our wonderful medical staff, you know, the physicians, the doctors, everybody, that the whole medical team that takes care of us. But we actually have to embrace that. We have to be educated on what we need to do in regards of taking care of our family members or even someone, if you're working in that facility, you need to know how to really be passionate and be compassionate as well in what you do, because everyone has a wonderful life, and it's a reason that they are here on earth. Now, the reason I say that, because we have an awesome, awesome guest today. He's an international life coach. He's an author. He's so many things, but I'm so glad he's in his purpose, because we actually need to know how to be a caregiver. We need to know how, and we talked earlier in the green room that my parents are getting older. One's 80 and one's 73, and they listen now. They know I love them. But we actually need to know how to do the right things. We know we love them, but we need to embrace what their needs are, and, of course, we need to make sure we have the basic necessities in life as well. But we don't want to delay. We want to welcome the international life coach and author and many more hats that he has. We want to welcome A. Michael Bloom to Good Deeds. Are you there?
I sure am, and I feel so super welcome. That was so energetic. I love it, Dr. Renee Sunday, and I'm embracing you over this phone, over the air, because I'm so glad to be here with you. So thank you for such a warm, warm welcome.
Well, you're very welcome. You are really, and I really do thank you for being in your purpose, because this is something dear to me. I didn't get a chance to tell you this, but, you know, I'm an anesthesiologist, but at first I actually wanted to go into geriatrics.
Oh.
So this is something that's very near to my heart, but please, we want to know a little bit more about yourself and just really the awesome things that you share on a daily basis that impact the world internationally.
Oh, well, sure. Well, thank you so much again for having me. So I primarily am a caregiver coach. I became a certified life coach back in 2011. And before I had done that, I have been a professional in the caregiving field as well. I have over 20 years of experience supporting people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And I actually started working in the field over 20 years ago as a direct care staff for adults with autism. And the reason I bring that up is that, and I know we talked in the green room before, in that I always, you know, prided myself as being the best possible care worker that I could be. But until something happens in your own family, until you experience something that brings you, you know, brings it to the forefront that you're going to stand up and take care for and advocate for a loved one, you really don't see the world completely, I think, until that happens. And back in 2009, I was living in my own house. I'm an only child. My parents are elderly. They actually had me at an older age. So at the time, my parents were in their early 80s. My mother in 2009 was a stage 4B lymphoma cancer survivor. She got diagnosed at age 77, and she was a miraculous survivor. It was thought that her oncologist was fearful of treating her because she thought the chemotherapy would kill her before the cancer did. But my mother had strong faith and a strong will to live, and she went through with the treatment and miraculously was cured of the cancer, but she became very frail on the other side. She had neuropathy and balance issues, and she no longer could independently take care of herself. So my father became her main caregiver, her spouse and her caregiver. He took care of all of the needs in the household. But on this one particular day in 2009, my mom called me up in a panic. She said my dad was not acting right. She didn't get their breakfast or their morning medication. And my father was a retired chemist. He was always great at doing everything by the book on time. So I rushed over to the house. I only lived about 5 miles apart. And I came over. And when I found my dad, I thought, he was sitting in a chair in his upstairs office, and I thought he might have had a stroke. He was kind of slumpy in the chair. So I called 911, and when the EMTs came out, we found out he didn't have a stroke, but he only had a heart rate of 25. And that event, he had a catastrophic heart failure event, and it started, it looks like, during the night while he was sleeping. He woke up that way. So they got him to the hospital. They put a pacemaker in. They stabilized his cardiac event over a period of time. But when you have a heart rate of 25, you lose oxygen to the brain. So unfortunately, he never got his mind back after that experience. So here was an independent 82-year-old man who was very healthy, did everything right, was taking care of my mom, and then one day he woke up and no longer could take care of himself. So my life was forever changed after that. I stepped in and started taking care of both of my parents, put my career on the side, sold my house, moved in with them, and started a several-year caregiving journey with both of them. Unfortunately, they both have now passed. My father passed a number of months later after treatment, and my mom on Mother's Day 2012. But caring for them and stepping into the caregiving role was the impetus for me to pursue supporting others that step into the caregiving role so that they take care of themselves while they're taking care of their loved ones.
I really have to chime in on a couple of things that you said. I first of all, I commend you for stepping up, because that actually, the characteristic of unconditional love and actually confidence and just doing the right thing, because that takes a lot of power, because it was only you, but I can tell you when it's, I've heard several stories of families that have multiple siblings. And yes. It's always one that's going to stand up, which is always good, but you have to make sure you get, like you said, that the confidence and have the love that you can actually extend that to somebody else when they really need you, because they did it for us when we were growing up. But another thing I want to talk about, Michael, as you said so wonderfully, and actually I had this conversation today with someone else, that today, with the way the economy is and how things are changing with the insurance, really they did a survey, I think it was last week, saying on CNN, they said that there are a lower amount of people applying for medical school and even nursing school and all the other disciplines. So eventually we're going to have less doctors, less nurses, but we still have a multitude of people are being born every day. And another thing, technology is great. I love technology. I'm a techie person. But what has happened also is I enjoyed, and I'm saying enjoyed meaning having a compassion when we actually had to learn more about the body in medical school. But now everything in technology, people don't, the medical students specifically, don't actually have hands-on experience with the body to learn the body. And I think that put an extra layer for me in regards of the compassion of taking care of somebody. And I think that is lacking a little bit just in general as the medical field, because we have the compassion to a certain point. But you said so wonderfully, when it's in your backyard, it's a different story. You know, it's sad to say that, but that's true.
It is. And, you know, and like I said, in supporting people with disabilities, I think I did the best that I could in any role that I've had in being as supportive to family members. Because one of the things I know is that when a parent gives birth or raises a child with special needs, that's a lifelong commitment to stand by their child. And I know from my short period of time of serving as a direct caregiver for my parents, and when they couldn't have a voice for themselves, I needed to be their voice. I needed to be their advocate and make sure that they were getting the treatment that they deserved, you know, when they had their points of time in the hospital or rehabilitation. And I really gained a new understanding of how important that advocacy role is. But when you're an advocate, the other thing that's important too is I know a lot of our medical workforce or our care workforce, their professionals, they deserve a lot of respect as well. I think there's so much, you know, we tend to see so many things through the media that we get what we want by being angry or fighting. I think you can get a lot more of what you feel you deserve if you use a lot more sugar than if you use a lot more salt and spice. And I've always tried to approach people that I've encountered with a great deal of respect and as my equal and not as my inferior, you know, or them as a superior. I think we're all on the same playing field when it comes to take care of people. It is a concern about the shortage of healthcare workers going forward, but I will share there's another shortage that's coming, and I talk to young people about this a lot. The AARP a couple of years ago released this really great study in 2013. You know, now you said, Renee, that your parents are both 73 and 80. And so your father, I believe, is 80 years old. Well, for every person that's 80 years old or older today, there are potentially seven younger people to take care of them. So there's seven people available for that one 80-plus-year-old. In 2030, that number, that ratio is going to go to 4 to 1. There'll be 4 younger people to care for every person over the age of 80. And by 2050, there'll be 3 people available to care for every person over the age of 80. So when I speak to students in a college, and, you know, I tend to hear these stories a lot. You know, when people enter medical school, they enter law school, the dean will say on the first day of school, look to your right and look to your left, because one out of the 3 of you probably won't be here come graduation because you won't make it. Well, I say to the students, look to your right and look to your left, because at least one out of the 3 of you is going to be caring for a loved one at some point. So it's time to get understanding what you need to do now so you become equipped when that time comes. And we really need to equip everyone so that they feel prepared when duty calls, and that they, you know, could step up to care for a loved one in a way that they can be proud of, but also in a way that they can do it that's sustainable, so they take care of themselves along the way. Because one of the things I'll say, too, I'm a statistical junkie, and that 20% of primary caregivers, 1 out of 5 primary caregivers dies before the loved one they're caring for, okay? So my dad was one of those people, right? He was all in for my mother. So he did everything he could to care for her. We never thought that he would be the one to pass away before her. Well, you know, God or whatever you believe had a different plan. Okay, so he did. And I know from myself, I have all of this experience as a professional. When I first jumped into that pool of care, and because I had all of this professional experience and I was an only child and pretty competent, I tried to do it all myself in those initial months. I tried to be Superman. And a lot of caregivers, when they first step into the role, they try to do it all. They try to be superhuman, and it's not sustainable. And you know, several months after my father passed, because I did this by myself for the most part, I came down with shingles. And I think it was because of stress. And it was after that point and going through coach training that I realized, you know what, caregivers need to get off of what I call caregiver isolation island. Unlike survivor, grab the torch and run off the island and find people that can help you, that can support you to take care of your loved one, but also let you find time to take care and renew yourself.
Wow, that is powerful. And I'm so glad that you're starting at the young people, because it's amazing. I mean, I look at my niece, my niece and nephew now. You know, they really truly believe that money grows on trees, and we did the same growing up. But The thing about it, they need to actually be able to think more global. What's going to happen when I get, you know, when you go older, when you go to college? And of course, we didn't think about that either when we were growing up. But I'm so glad that you're going to that level to actually put that into there, because education is powerful. If they actually are aware of it, they can actually, you know, like you said, 1 out of 3, someone in that room would get the information, and they actually would be able to do the right thing in regards to caregiving. So that is very powerful. But I want to ask you this, because I've been on both sides, and you have as well.
Yep.
But when you actually have to, you know, your wonderful book, The Accidental Caregiver Survivor Guide, when you accidentally, you know, you're the only child or you're the only one that's actually going to step up to the plate to actually take care of your parents or elderly person in your family, you know, you touched on it briefly, but I like how you said of the burnout and the isolation.
Yes.
Are there any signs that we need to look at that to say, hey, is this me? Am I actually isolating myself? Am I actually being burnt out?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's such a common thing among caregivers, you know, and I really find this when somebody is stepping into a role, especially when it's married, a married couple. Because when the partner, you know, your loved one goes down, that you're in a, you know, your romantic partner, your lifetime partner goes down, and that person becomes ill, things that you may have done before, you kind of put off to the side. You may not find joy in that anymore. And it really goes for anybody who steps into a caregiving role. You don't take time for yourself, or you don't see a way to take time for yourself. And yes, I was an only child. So that was both a blessing and a curse. The curse first was I didn't feel I had anybody else to turn to because it was solely my responsibility. Okay, the blessing was I had no siblings to fight with over what decisions we were making. Okay, so, and I've seen many adult siblings fight and bicker with one another over caregiving decisions, or one sibling tends to step up to the plate in a big way, make a decision and a big commitment, and gets very upset when she or he does not see the other brothers or sisters step up in the way that they think they should. Well, these should statements really get us in trouble, because the bottom line with everything is there are no shoulds. We all do what's comfortable for us, and we're only responsible for ourselves. We're not responsible for the decisions that other people who are competent make. But one of the things that I like to suggest to caregivers who are feeling overwhelmed is make a list of everything that you're doing. Start to make a list on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, and as-needed basis. Make a big list. Keep adding to it over the course of days, right? When people ask you, how can they help? Because I had this happen in the beginning of the journey that I started in caregiving. I would have friends or cousins ask me, what can I do to help? Well, when I was initially in it and I didn't think I needed help or didn't have the time to think about it, because my dad had dementia my mom had full caregiving needs and my dad came home with vascular dementia, I was up around the clock. I barely got sleep because of his support needs. And I was feeling overwhelmed. When people asked me that question, I didn't even know what to tell them for an answer. So I'd say, I don't need anything, or I've got it. But if I had taken time to make the list, if somebody asked me how they could help, I could share the list and they could choose from the list what they could do to help me. Same thing goes with families that have arguments. The sibling that tends to be the one to be the primary caregiver tends to tell the other people what they want them to do. That's a big no-no. We don't ever like to be told what to do. Whether we're 2 years old, 20 years old, or 80 years old, nobody likes to be told what to do. But if you want your family members or siblings to step up to the plate, give them a list. Show them a menu of options that they could choose from. Let them select what they think they could do based on their capability, what they feel that they would enjoy doing or what they feel they're skilled at doing. You will find that people, I have found with my clients, that their brothers and sisters will step up to the plate to help if they can choose themselves what they'll do. And I'll tell you what, once they do one thing and you are happy about the fact that they've stepped up and you share that with them, they'll step up again and do something else. That helps to tear down these barriers of all these arguments that take place. Give people choice and let them step up. And if people choose not to, then that's just the way it is. You can either sit there and dwell and be angry. That's not serving anyone. It's not going to serve your loved one. Or you go forward in as positive and proactive and in planful a way as possible.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. If you tell, that's just, you have to do reverse psychology on people, and we don't like that. That's just our human nature. We don't want anybody to tell us anything. But what we're going to do just real quickly, we're going to give our advertisers and our sponsors just a quick 50 seconds here, and we're going to come back. But what I think will be awesome is, because some people have actually texted us and have inboxed us, and that's the next thing I was going to talk about with Michael, is tell us a little bit, you know, we're talking about your book, but we love the part that you say here, that it provides a roadmap to caregivers without regret. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that and the awesome coaching that you do, you know, that you do on a daily basis. We want to know one of your favorite results that you've had, that you have really impacted somebody else's life, that they actually can enjoy life while they actually being a caregiver. So we're going to take a quick commercial break. This is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday.
Hi, this is international and literary award-winning author LaDonna Marie, and you can find my inspirational books on Amazon, also www.ladonnamariebooks.com, and you're listening to Good Deeds Radio.
This is John Schamberger, founder and CEO of Millionaires of Trainings Only. We are proud to support and listen to Good Deeds Live every Mondays and Thursdays at 5:30 Eastern Standard Time, with your host, the platform builder, Dr. Nate Sunday. So remember, wherever your mind can conceive and believe in your purpose, it can achieve. And don't stop. Get it.
We just love our advertising. They actually believe in our mission and our purpose, and we really, really love them. If you want to know more information about me, the platform building, the awesome things I do in speaking, the Thriving 365 platform that we have for speakers, and actually to know more about our radio and television show, please go to our website, which is www.reneesunday.com. Again, that is www.reneesunday.com. We actually are having a much-needed conversation with A. Michael Bloom. I mean, we need to know this information about how to be a caregiver, how to make sure we're not isolated, how to make sure we're not burned out. But what we want to do is we're talking about the roadmap that he has in this awesome, awesome book. But we need to make sure when we take care, we're actually doing caregiving, that we don't do it with regret. I mean, some people, I've heard stories, I know Michael has heard them as well, but talk a little bit about that, because we got to have strategies, we got to have tips that we can be successful in it and actually don't feel upset while we're going through the process.
Sure. Well, it'd be my pleasure to share this. Yeah, I find that caregivers tend to have two main regrets, and one is for, you know, because when you are caring for a loved one, and as I did with my parents and as the many people I have a privilege to coach and those that I meet and talk to, you really are walking through the scariest times that life has to offer. I mean, these are truly life and death situations. They're medical crises. They're injuries. You know, we have a million Americans that are caring for a loved one that's returned with injury from serving our great country in Iraq and Afghanistan. Imagine what the families have made a sacrifice before they let their loved ones go overseas, and then they're sacrificing the rest of their lives to care for and restore those injured veterans. But here's what we tend to have regret for. When we're all in for our loved one, we can put our own lives on the back burner. You know, I put my professional career aside at first to take care of my parents. I put my social life on hold. I've seen this with other people. I've known people to put their hobbies aside, their careers, no longer enjoy their retirement that they've worked hard to get to. You, as you care for your loved one deserves all of your attention and support, but they want you to live your life too. You only go down this road once, so you may as well live it to the fullest. So my mantra for living as full a life as possible while you're caring for your loved one is, I use the mantra, put chocolate in your pill box. That's actually a chapter in my book. Because when we care for loved ones, we know about medications. I used to be so concerned about making sure my parents got the medications they were prescribed. The chocolate is a metaphor for something that brings you joy. I'm a chocoholic, so chocolate brings me joy. The pill box is a metaphor for your calendar. So one of the ways for caregivers to not live with regret is make sure that you schedule joy in your calendar at least once per week. something that you like to do. Because if your calendar is just filled with medical appointments and other tasks and responsibilities that you need to fulfill to meet your household needs, you're going to live a life with regret. The other area that caregivers tend to face regret is because of all this stress that is involved. You know, caregivers tend to sacrifice hours of work, so they go into financial hardship. They put their social lives on the side, so they feel very socially isolated. They can, there's so many stressors involved, you know, from finance to social to just, you know, time. And again, we don't, because you put all these things on the back burner, you're never going to get this time back. So it's vital that, again, you schedule that joy. But the other thing I was going to say with all the medical appointments and the stress, when we're upset or our loved ones are upset because we're walking hand in hand through some very scary times, who do we lash out to when we're upset? The people we're closest to. So it's not unusual for caregivers and their loved ones to say some pretty harsh things to one another at times. My mother was a doll. She was a beautiful human being. We got along extremely well. But after my dad died and I took over running the household, I didn't run it the same way he did. So she could get very critical of things I was doing in the kitchen or try to micromanage the way I did things because it wasn't the way she kept it or he did. And Hal Lining did, one time, she seemed to be upset because I wasn't loading the dishwasher the way she liked it to be loaded. So I got upset and snapped at her because of all the things I was responsible for. What's a dishwasher, right? But do you know, the reason I bring this story up is I made sure that I never went to bed upset or thinking my mother was upset. Well, I made sure to apologize if ever that happened. Well, every time I made an apology, and it wasn't very much because we were very close, she would say to me, Michael, I don't even know what you're apologizing for. I wasn't upset. I didn't hear anything from you. So the reason I bring this up is many caregivers feel guilt for things they say or do while they're caring for their loved one after their loved one passes. So if you're listening to this show, and I've met many people, I've seen people go to tears because their loved one is no longer with them that maybe they've cared for. Believe me, your loved one has forgiven you by now. The best thing you can do to honor them is forgive yourself. You are human, and when you're in a caregiving role, it's stressful and understandable. So the way to move on with energy and not have regret is to make sure that you forgive yourself and your loved one during those scary times.
I love it. Forgiveness, you got to not have that unforgiveness. You said it right there. That is powerful. You know, the time goes by so quickly here, Michael. Wow, it's just been so powerful. But tell us, you know, of course, give us any other thoughts you want to share and tell us how we can actually contact you and how we can actually support you on the social media networks.
Sure, absolutely. It'd be my pleasure. Well, anybody can find me at my website, which is caregivingwithoutregret.com, caregivingwithoutregret.com. You can also find, there's a book tab there, and you can find information about my book, which is The Accidental Caregiver Survival Guide, is available on Amazon. I do offer caregiving resources at the site. And occasionally, and I just happen to have this coming Thursday, which is April 16th, a neat caregiving power hour. It's actually, we're doing Caregiver Appreciation Day. It's absolutely free, a free webinar, and people can register at caregivingpowerhour.com. And even if you can't attend live, you will get the replay, the recording. And I'm going to share lots of great tips and resources during that. But at any time, come check me out at caregivingwithoutregret.com or shoot me an email at michael@bloomforcoach.com. And I'd be happy to communicate with anyone. It's a great pleasure and an honor to be able to support caregivers. And I feel like I'm honoring my parents' legacy by providing inspiration and energy to other caregivers who are stepping up to the role. I was positively transformed by my caregiving experience. It was not easy. It was a tough journey, but I would not do anything differently. And I know I'm meant to support others, and that's why I'm living my purpose. So, and I thank you so much for having me on the show. It's been a great pleasure.
Well, I really, truly thank you for being in your purpose, because we need to have this information. It's so valuable because we need to know what to do. We need to make sure we actually still enjoy life. I really glad you said that, because sometimes, I mean, I remember my mom was in the hospital for a month. I didn't leave the hospital.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're saying. You have to make sure you actually do things to make yourself happy so you'll have the strength to continue to take care of them. So I truly thank you, and we will support you in the things that you're doing, and I thank you so much for being here on Good Deeds.
Thank you so much.
You guys, you know, we actually did it again. We actually love bringing you information, and we have to embrace this information about how to be a successful and not have regret as being a caregiver, okay? This has been very valuable. Share it with your friends, share it with your family, and just share the information, because we need to build each other, and that's what this platform is for. To build people that we actually can be motivated and inspired, that we all can make wise decisions. You know, we're going to end the show with a song that I love. This is Smiley Dawn. This is my great, great friend. And we're going to end it with Pray For Us. This is Good Deeds, and I'm Dr. Renee Sunday. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Excuse me for a second while I talk to my father. You know, sometimes you just got to let go and let God. Ain't no specific way you gotta pray, just pray. Put your hands folded, put your eyes to the sky, just pray. Pray for me, I'ma pray for you. And I'm asking God to pray for us.
Astronomical pressure weighs me down every day. Got me consistently plotting routes for my soul to escape. When I think of the past, most of the time I reminisce pain. Will I leave this place smiling, the folded up shirt stains from contemplate suicide, and I can't place no blame. Seem like we'll see them soon, our leaders leading us that way. We used to be proud to have a child for all the promise they gave. Now we cry, look in the clouds because their futures are haze. Righteousness is progress, ignorance set us back further. They reaching for false dreams, wanna be athletes, godfathers. Telling our neighbors poison and our neighborhood disintegrate. We choosing right over wrong, not fully weighing the stakes. We selfish, long as we come up, we feel it's not our problem. We born with a disposition, supposed to be better men than our fathers. I was once one of the masses, eyes blinded by objects. With plenty hard, but none of us got 1 ounce of conscience. Pray for us, Heavenly Father, it's hard to sustain. Tribulations make a stronger man, but things you see are insane. Even if they close their eyes, I know they feel the blood in the streets. Here I am on bending knee, not asking only for me, but pray for us, Heavenly Father. It's hard to maintain. Tribulations make a stronger man, but things you see are insane. Even if they close their eyes, I know they feel the blood in the streets. So here I am on bending knee, not asking only for me, but pray for us.
Pray for us. Pray for us, Father, have mercy.
Most of us will suppress feelings till it directly affects them, but I bet you and someone you know someone in prison, cause we're the third generation of government-sanctioned experimentation, poor education, intimidation, and political assassination, and then what we do, kill each other to keep a system in place that was designed to keep us suppressed in the first place, fool. I pray that God give me the insight that he gave Tupac, and made my aim be as true, like when Pac shot him to God. In the civil rights days, no one had bucks for a movement, but nowadays, most of us throw away millions with no excuses. My folks, they blow dope on objects to obtain. But who of you is from that same loop for a positive change? Maybe we need a revolution to try to right these wrongs. But everyone doing their own thing, no united front. But whoa, Smiley Dawn must have himself a death wish. Cause once we come against oppression, they'll label him terrorist. Pray for us, Heavenly Father, it's hard to sustain. Tribulations make a stronger man, but things we see are insane. Even if they close their eyes, I know they feel the blood in the streets. Here I am on bending knee, not asking only for me, but pray for us, Heavenly Father. It's hard to maintain. Tribulations make a stronger man, but things we see are insane. Even if they close their eyes, I know they feel the blood in the streets. So here I am on bending knee, not asking only for me, but pray for us.
Pray for us. Pray for us, Father, have mercy.
Not just for me, Lord, bless everyone, no matter the struggle. I know you hear us calling and joy when our lives on a bubble. It's just sometimes we need some wisdom, calling hope wasn't home. Most time we make the wrong decision when dialing our own cell phone. Satan's greatest trick, convincing the world he didn't exist. But we know different, cause we live in a hood with some of his minions. In the scriptures, they make mention of thugs in times biblical. So please forgive me as I continue the task of chasing my issues. It's disturbing when a person's whole world comes crashing down after repeated rebuilding on what then seems solid ground. I try to live right, but with my vision in the brightest light, but the judgment day I'll probably be the most valuable sodomite. I believe and keep faith even though I can't see you. But my fan base equal the number of folks believing in you. These cats can write a beat, but they're constant and tired. So please guide me when I preach and baptize with this fire. Pray for us.
Father God, I thank you for this day, Father. I just want to say that I love and adore you. I bless your holy name. Thank you for giving me the use of my limbs, this sweet air to breathe, the ground that I walk beneath, Father. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my family. I pray for my mother. I pray for my father. I pray for my brothers and sisters, my nieces and nephews, my extended family, my friends. Father God, I also pray for those who will not or cannot pray for themselves, Father. I ask that you offer them guidance, wisdom, and understanding, Father. Father, bring more people closer to you so that they will understand what true love means, so that they'll be able to spread it to other people. Each one teach one. I choose to serve you. Pray for me, Father. It's an uphill battle.